would you stand with me, please, and just in your heart, worship the Lord, and just in your heart, praise Him, and just say, Jesus, we believe in you. Yes, just say it in your heart or with your mouth, however you want to. Jesus, we believe. We praise you. Thank you for that song. Lord, thank you, your name, your presence. Thank you, God, for victory in our lives over death, over sin. Thank you over evil. Thank you, God. Praise you. Bless this service. Speak to our hearts in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Hey, praise the Lord. Praise God. We're together. We're together here today. Praise the Lord. Wow. Thank you, God. Are you ready to get some teaching this morning? Do you want to get a slice of good heavenly apple pie? A slice of bread? Yeah.
Two slices.
Two slices, Oliver. Okay. I have something to say this morning on the subject of what is our topic here? Fences, yeah. So Tech Ops Department made a fence. Look at it. It's for sale after the service. Okay. All right, so fences. I'm going to have you sit in a minute. Turn in your Bibles to Ephesians, please. We'll read a few verses together. Ephesians. I want you to realize also this morning that God is doing great work here in the state of Maryland. God is touching people's lives. I want you to know that God is reaching out, that God is being made known amongst people in many different places in our society. I want you to believe and to understand that God is answering our prayers. God is faithful to us. God is meeting our needs, and He cares about you. You are important. I want you to know that. Very important. Your life is important. Your life is not an accident. I was speaking once with a man, and we were fooling around, and I said, do you believe in evolution? He said, yes, I do. I said, you look like an accident. Okay, just joking. You look like an accident. Okay. Well, he said, you do too. Okay, you do too. Okay. All right. I think I'll change it. Ephesians chapter 3, and we will read here from verse 1. Read it with me, please. For this cause, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which has given me to you word, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, for as I wrote afore in few words, whereby, when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body, partakers of the promise in Christ by the gospel, whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. All right, you may be seated. Coach Lynch's dad is here, and stepmom, Rita, is it? Rita, yes, good to have you. Simone's mom and dad. And how many love Coach Lynch, Pat Lynch, huh? He's exceptional. Around here, he's like, whoa, extraordinaire. Exceptional guy. All right. This is our house of reality, the first floor, and people living on the first floor of the house. Remember the teaching? For years now, we use this as a simple reference for what we are speaking about. Paul said he had received by God in a dispensation of grace a special calling, and Paul understood the mystery of Christ. This is important to us. How did he get it? It was revealed. You cannot just find it easily. It must be shown to you who is Christ. Who is he? What does it mean to me? This is beautiful. There are some people, they believe in God, but they don't believe in Christ. Then there are some people who believe in God, believe in Christ, but they don't know really who he is or what it means. They don't understand how it relates to me on a Monday and a Tuesday, in the summer and in the winter, in my youth, in my old age. Many people, they have no problem believing in a very simple way, and they just say, I believe. But do they know, do they understand, has it been revealed to them who Christ is and what this means? Peter wrote in 2 Peter 3, Paul wrote things that were hard to be understood. The Apostle Peter said that about Paul. Paul wrote things hard to be understood, and some twist them. The things that Paul wrote in 2 Peter 3. It is important for us to know that we are called to living in the whole house. We said that Jesus lived in the whole house. What does it mean? But he came from God. He was God, but as a servant, he lived as a man. But as a man, he was also at the same time God. Christ said, nobody has gone into heaven but the Son of Man who is in heaven. John 3:13. Christ was on the earth and in heaven at the same time. Wow, that's a mystery. The word mystery is important because it actually feeds us as people. I want to know the mysteries. I want to know what's behind what I can see. The mountains and rivers, the ocean, the plants, the animals, the human beings. Why are we here? Where are we going? What is the point? What is our purpose? A man on the first floor of the house, he'll say, you know, I have a job. I got a car. I have a place to live. I have a girlfriend. I have a wife. I have a child. I pay my bills. I watch a game. I enjoy this and that, and I die, and that's it. And we say we're not satisfied with those purposes. These are purposes on the first floor of the house. But then Paul said, he said, eternal purpose. The eternal purpose of God. Have you ever asked yourself, what is God doing in history? What is the point? Where is it going? Have you ever asked yourself, what is really happening here on the earth? Do we really see it and understand it? when Jesus came, he said he understood that man largely is blind and does not see. He said to the disciples, "Who do you say I am?" And they answered. But he said, before he asked them, he said, "Who does the world say I am? You are Jeremiah or John the Baptist or some other prophet." Yeah, they can't see. They can see religion, but they can't see the mystery. They don't know. And then he asked the big question, "But who do you say I am?" "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And what did Jesus say? "Flesh and blood has not shown this to you, but my Father showed this to you." This short story is repeated in our lives. We see, you know, we see beyond space and time. We see who Christ is. He's not just a moral teacher or simply a man talking about things or teaching like Confucius did or just predicting something. But Christ is God incarnated. This is our deep joy and our amazing understanding that has affected our lives. We are amazed that God became a man so that man would be in God. That's amazing. And living in a full house means that I'm here in Baltimore. Definitely I'm on Moravia Road. But it's much more than that. I'm more than on Moravia Road. Where are we? Listen, Ephesians 2. We are seated in heavenly places. Now? Yes. Now. Well, why can't I see that more clearly? Because the barriers that happen in our flesh and the world age, the spirit of the age, and various elements that blind me, but I have a more sure word of prophecy, a Bible that shows me it's true whether I see it or not. It's true that Christ is risen from the dead, though I have not seen him, yet in believing I rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Where is the glory? It is here. Have you seen it? It is here. It is our world. It is. It really is. We live by faith, and the Holy Spirit is faithful to show us the things that are freely given to us of God. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 11. This is a good introduction for fences, because a fence is, there are many of them, and a fence is important in keeping things out and keeping things in. It's also a piece of artwork, too. I mean, you might have a fence because you want to look at it for its beauty, if it is beautiful, or you like it for that reason. But functionally, it keeps out what I don't want in. In the first place we see this is with God himself in heaven. So we're going to look at that. Before we do, remember our fence idea given to us from God is rooted in the spiritual. The spiritual life has fences. Just as in a physical world, we have boundaries that are useful for us for many different reasons. And for space orientation, our space, we have them for our protection and for protecting people we love. for our families, and what we need as people, our fences and our soul, deep in our heart, in our way of thinking. Fences, that's an important part of our mental life, our thought life. So this will be a teaching, and just we'll hit the points. There are five of them. First of all, in heaven. And this is in Luke 10 and verse 18. Turn there with me, please. I want to thank all the staff people, Pastor Shabelli, Pastor Law, Pastor Jason, Pastor Gary, Pastor Aiden O'Connell, the head of the school, for their hearts of faith, humility, love, service, Pastor Hadley, the counseling, all the staff members, secretaries, workers, everything that's going on this plaza through the week. You know, we ministered 2,600 different sittings, people in chairs during the week time, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, children, nursery, mother's room over there, Sunday school, Christian day school, a huge number of people that are ministered to during the week. It's amazing. And our parking lot always has cars in it during the daytime, every day of the week. And I say that only to say that we are a ministry of joy, a ministry of boundaries, but also very deeply and importantly, love. Love that loves to serve, and God's grace upon us by the anointing of the Spirit. It's a beautiful thing to find that upper room. It's a beautiful thing in your life. You might say, Pastor, it's not for me. I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know how that works. I don't know that how that goes. And I say, I understand you. God cares about you. Just keep listening. Keep walking in faith, and you will find the reality of Christ, the mystery of Christ revealed to your heart, really. And that is what we labor for. We care about you in God and your future. And this message will speak to your heart about that. Verse 18. Verse 17 is good to read. The 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through your name. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Very simple statement. I would have loved to have had a follow-up question about it. Really? Like, how did that happen? What happened? How did it work? What happened in heaven? And we read in Isaiah 14, Ezekiel 28, about that event. I want you to notice something. God in heaven and large rooms in heaven. We read in the book of Revelation, there's the throne, of God, the throne of the Lamb. There's a large room. There are places in heaven. There's a high mountain. There's a city of gold, clear as crystal. A beautiful place. And sometimes in my heart, in my imagination, I go there in my heart, and I'm actually excited about the whole idea of what it is, because I can sense it in my spirit, in my heart, because of the second floor of the house that you and I are living in. I believe in heaven. I believe Jesus made us not to die, but to live. I believe that I'm not to say goodbye to my mother at the grave, and that's the end. That doesn't make sense to me. And then I read in the scripture, Christ was risen, And then I read that he went to heaven. And then I read he went to prepare a place for me. And now we read that Lucifer wasn't welcome. He was thrown out. So let's say he's on this side of the fence. And this is the reality of God here in heaven. The reality of truth, the reality of perfect righteousness and wisdom and the mind of God. Then from in one of his creatures comes this contrary idea. I am not with you, God. I contest you. I do not believe you. I am not part of your program. I am independent of you. And God, in his wisdom, allowed Satan to traffic in his message with the angels. It was it's a very interesting thing that he allowed Lucifer to go trafficking. Ezekiel 28 uses that word, traffic. Like just, you know, publish, traffic, communicate, express his mind. And then it happened. And Jesus said, I saw it happen. Isn't that amazing? And out they left. We could say they went on the other side of the fence. Because it's not true. And the lie is contrary. And God could not tolerate the lie, the deception, the ruse, the trick, the evil. And it says in 1 John 1:5, in God there is light and no darkness at all. It's like in the nature of God is light. And there's just no room for anything that would be contrary to that perfect nature of God. And so out he goes. And he comes here to the earth. Of course, that provokes a lot of questions in our minds too. Why the earth? And what about the other planets? And where is evil? Is it only here? Did Lucifer fall, became Satan in the scripture? And it looks like there's no way we would know any of this unless it is written, if it is revealed. Because if you look at the sky, you cannot tell this spiritual history. The sky can't tell you that there was an angel that fell and was cast like lightning out of heaven and came here to this planet. You know, the Voyager spacecraft and all the photographs out there in the universe, I mean, these are amazing scientific accomplishments. But what are they photographing? Dirt, gases, the physical laws of gravity and those phenomena. But we cannot find life on other planets. And we ask ourselves this amazing question. Are we privileged? Is this earth unique? And why are we here talking about these things? Why? Because we're made in his image. We're made for honor. We're made for God's mind. We're made for an eternal purpose. We are made for this. And the whole idea of fences is now, it comes to the earth. And it's in the second point is here in the Garden of Eden. God planted a garden. And it was defined by the boundaries of the four rivers. Adam and Eve were put there in the garden. And they walked with God. Every day they heard the voice of God, and God was with them, teaching them. What would God be teaching them? What is it that God wants to express to these creatures, too, made in his image? What is it that God wants them to, how does he want them to think? Isn't the communication like fascinating to us? Where speech comes from, where our minds go, like what we can think about and how we relate. And of course, this is before sin. So we really don't know how they really were because they were sinless. But we know that even though there was a garden, and on the outside of the garden, and there was the inside, and they were to keep the inside of the garden. They were to keep the garden. And who came? But Satan came into the garden. This is where we see an important application for our lives as believers. That we are also now, because of our new birth, we are walking by faith, and God is with us, and He is teaching us. And He wants us to be rooted and grounded in the truth. And He wants us when there's the approach of evil, we are able to confront it and say in our hearts, that's not going to happen here. I don't accept that. It's not in my heart, in my mind. That's not where I'm living. And this isn't the way it is. And when Satan came into the garden and talked to Eve, talked to her, and Adam was there, this is where we failed as a race of men. It is that the evil invaded and it got the advantage. And man then, it being lost, is actually has lost his eternal purpose, has lost sight of the mystery, does not understand what life is really about. Because when he sinned, he lost God's presence. He lost his purpose. He lost God himself as his provision. It's a good word. And it is. We could kind of explode. You know? That's what we want to see happen here. Hey, really. It's like, wow. Okay, listen. We see fences in another way in our Bible, and that's with the nation of Israel. When God gave the Ten Commandments to Israel, He also gave hundreds of other laws. There was a count of 629 Mosaic laws that God gave to Israel, and these laws were to be a fence for them as a nation. A barrier where they weren't to pass this. These were moral and religious laws, and they were to live on the basis of law. And we have that. We understand the Ten Commandments. We know what they are, what they mean, and for the health of society. But the Ten Commandments cannot reveal to me the mystery. They can only reveal to me and somehow restrain my desire. A man wants to lie, and he's brought to the place where he could tell a lie, but there's a fence there, and it says, do not lie, do not bear false witness. And so that barrier, the law, is useful for me in helping me and also making for civil living. People living by the law. But the law is also deficient in the real purpose of God is for me not to have these fences that are external but internal, fences that are given to me on a spiritual level where I would understand another law, a higher law, this law of love. and the law of liberty that we see in the book of James. The fourth place I want you to see barriers is Jesus and the disciples. Did Jesus give fences and boundaries to the disciples? And what were they? When Christ was here on the earth, and he ministered to the disciples, and he would teach them, these boundaries were different from the Ten Commandments, where Christ said, it was written, you shall not commit adultery, but I say unto you, you cannot think it. If you think it, you're guilty of it. We would say that's impossible. And how can a man live beyond his nature, beyond his impulses or his hormones, his background, his upbringing, his cultural orientation? How can a man really get outside of the first floor of the house? And Christ says, we must be born again. If we are born again, now we have a mystery revealed to us. And we say, oh, I'm not a perfect man in one sense, but I can sense that Christ has given me another desire. I desire my wife in a godly sense, and in the right place. I have my family and so on. But I have lost a measure of the lust and the passion of the natural man, because I have found another passion, a spiritual one. We have found the reality of Christ in our life. We have found freedom, joy, love. We have found the Word of God. How can a young man cleanse his way but by taking heed unto your Word? Isn't that amazing? Thy Word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. What did Jesus teach the disciples? This is Jesus and the disciples. We have one more. Jesus and the disciples, he taught them by his example. And by the way, Satan could come. He came into the garden, right? God allows him in the garden. Satan can come into Jesus' group of men. And Jesus allows Satan to get so close you could feel him breathing on your neck. And that would be Satan. How close does God allow Satan to come? He could come as close to you as you can imagine. He could be right there. Why does God allow it? Because it's an evidence of God's security, God's unfolding plan. Okay, let me say it a different way. God allows Satan to come close to us, because this is the opportunity that God has given him to do his work. But because we are believers, what is born in us is greater than him. 1 John 4:4. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. God, we could say Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, you say, God, why did you let him in the garden? And God could answer, because I'm revealing myself. I'm not an insecure totalitarian dictator that's like running a zoo and you guys are in cages and I'm in control. I'm an organic God who is secure and loving, and I'm letting the lie come your way, and I want to see in your heart and mind your ability to say no and that the fence would really be your decision. The fence is really what goes on in your heart, and what are you looking for? And some people, the devil is there, and he is kind of welcomed in their lives. Like, this happened to me. Yeah, he came into my house, and I had him on the TV. I had the devil on the internet. I had the lies propagated in my library. I had friends over to my house that are like just simply under his influence. And that's kind of the way I want it to be. And Jesus is saying to the disciples, you follow me and I will show you. And you'll become fishers of men, communicators of divine truth. And you'll be rooted and grounded in me. And you will have fences in your life like that are amazing. And they will protect you. You will be promoted. You will be blessed. And even the fences are, in a sense, we don't define them because they must be spiritually revealed to us. That I am saying no to that because I really know what it is. I'm not interested in it. My new nature, I'm drawn to it. God, truth, love, and loyalty, and faith, and commitment. Jesus taught the disciples by his example, by his teaching. He taught them. And you can be sure there were fences that he was leading them in understanding. He was teaching them so they would understand God's ways, God's heart, God's mind. How many times will I forgive my neighbor? Three? Seven? Jesus puts the fence post way back here. 70 times seven. Oh, wow. That's amazing. Jesus, you're walking on water. Call me. Come. And Peter walks on the water. Who are you? Who are you? He goes, I am. You're talking about exports? I'm the ultimate. I am the guy. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Reality in heaven on earth through me. I am God. And I'm not only showing you who God is. Listen, I'm showing you who man is. A new man. I'm going to show you a new man. Not the man that's on this side of the fence of the law. And he's afraid he's going to commit adultery. Or he's afraid he's going to lie. Or he's afraid he's going to lose somehow create something stupid. He's afraid of it. And he's just there at the fence, just hoping he'll never do that. Christ is saying, I came so you would be above and beyond the condemning of the law. You will fulfill the law. Romans 8:4, walking in the Spirit. We fulfill the law. By the Spirit of God, we do God's will. And we're thinking with his thoughts and learning his ways. We're able to say now, and this is our fifth and last one, and this is awesome, and this is mental fences. Mental. The fences. Some of you are so afraid of losing your freedoms. You're so afraid of losing your freedoms that you don't want to embrace, you don't understand the Christian faith. The Christian faith puts you in a big room. Sin is not my friend. It isn't. I want to have a fence for that. You know? You ever have a backyard and the dogs are running back and forth through the yard, or ever have some animals come into your yard and eat the vegetables out of the garden or the squirrels or something, and you put up a fence. Have you ever had a fence or security system so that the thieves will stay out of your house, or you try to keep them out? Have you ever had a fence and said, thank God for the fence? Fences are important. Boundaries are important. But these fences are not binding me. They are leading me in the reality God has ordained for man. They're leading us in understanding our high calling, our great purpose, understanding what love is. And one of the key word for mental fences is really love. This is really the meaning. It's really love. If you had a little boy, 5 years old, in the streets of Baltimore City, where you lived, you say to the little boy, Johnny, you can't go out and play in the street. Mom and Dad love you. You can't go out there. You go outside, but not beyond the fence. You have to stay inside the yard because we love you. We're protecting you. He goes outside beyond the fence, and he's out in the street playing. And you come outside, and you just correct him. No, John, you can't. Why can't I? You're limiting me. And of course, as they get older, the fences move. That's important. The fences move. As they get bigger and their minds and their abilities and responsibility, it changes their world. And as parents, we understand that and we move with our children. But I would not love if I did not have a fence in principle, for myself, my family, my children, the people we love, our church, our mission. Paul was so moved in his ministry for the people to understand the mystery of Christ. Because Christ is the only one that can take on the devil. Let's pause here for a second. The problem in heaven came here. On purpose, it came here. God said, I will deal with this, thinking with me now. My way, my timing, I will deal with this evil. And it will come here. And God, in a sense, kind of said, okay, you are a great spirit, a cherub. You are the highest, most beautiful, the most powerful of my creatures. I'm going to take this dust, this, and make a man. And from him, make a woman. They will overcome you. They are going to cast you out. They will deal with you. They are the authority that I have ordained in my plan to show my nature, my humility, my wisdom, my patience, my way. The devil, they're in the garden. The devil comes into the garden and he gets them. He gets them. What does God say? It's not over till it's over. It's not over. God becomes a man. And God, Christ, takes on the devil. The devil comes to Christ right in his face. Christ is there, and he's living with his Father, and he overcomes him. And at the cross, his power is crushed. And we are the church. Christ leaves, and now Christ is here. Christ is here. Christ is here. I mean that. We know that. That's there. Christ is here. And now what are you doing? You and I, we don't know about the fence. Maybe the only thing we know is the Ten Commandments. And we're guilty about things we watch on TV or things we do in business or something I said to somebody. And we live there kind of condemned. And just living with some moral idea of life. And we're saying, kick it up. Your life is more than just this right and wrong. Your life is a spiritual life where you are living in Him and He dwells in you, and you are in contest with the evil. And you're saying, not going to happen. It's over. Out. Or resists Him, He flees. I don't agree. I don't accept it. I'm living on the basis of doctrine. It is amazing, isn't it? It is. Is that true or not? You know, the amazing thing about it is that it's true. And we have not yet seen, like, very clearly, but we see it here. And we will see more clearly and will not be ashamed in that day when we see Him in Christ. We will say, Lord, it'll be like, and the Lord will say, actually, you know, you guys aren't perfect, but you got that right. That sure, life can be a mess. I know that. My family life, the boundaries idea, immorally speaking, and I need that. But I need more than that. I need a mental understanding of the deep and the reality. And then it's easy for me to say, not going to happen. It's easier for me to say that I understand that this is a strategy to discourage me, drive me away from the church, drive me away from my Bible, drive me away from faith. It's a strategy to kick me down and make me feel like I am unworthy. And you cannot buy into those thoughts and feelings because God needs you on the earth. God needs us with an understanding. Oh, wait a minute. It is a lot bigger than I see and understand. God does not condemn me. He empowers me. God is not against me. He is for me. Christ came so that man would have dignity and honor in his own heart and in his own life, and he would be able to make good decisions. Well, I'll close with this short story. A body member here, the earlier service, came. We talked the other night, and he told me this story. He said, I was at work. He works as a contractor. And there was a painter on the job from another company. And his phone was ringing. And the brother said, well, why is your phone always ringing? He said, oh, it's some crazy woman that I did a painting job for. And she's like 40-year-old woman, and she wants me. And he's like 27-year-old guy painting. And this woman is after me. And she's calling me, and she wants some relationship with me. And the Greater Grace guy said, like, what are you married, and what's your life like? He goes, yeah, I'm married. I love my wife. I have two kids. And this woman, and the guys are telling me to go be with the woman. And he said, I don't know what to do. And what did the Greater Grace guy say? Yeah, stay with your wife. He'd say, sleep, kind of like, you know. Wow. I mean, is that hard to figure out? Like, change your phone number, like, get out of this, don't even think about it. But the guy, a simple kind of guy, not a believer, but a good guy, so to speak, and his buddies saying, go be with that woman. And I was thinking of a story like this. There are so many people that are talking out there. They don't have fences. They don't have good advice. They don't have any counsel. They do stupid things. They wake up in the morning and say, well, how did I get here? It's like you didn't have any. We're not even talking about spirituality. We're talking about morality and what is written in your heart. And when our brother was done talking to him, he goes, "Thank you so much." Because he said, "Listen, you got a wife, you've got children, you don't throw it away, you work on your family, you stay together, you don't commit adultery, you have nothing to do with that, you walk, listen, and be born again. Accept Christ in your life, and he'll teach you and show you another way." These other people are often, they're very stupid. They don't care about you. They just live in their lust and their passion. You know? Wow. Man, it's crazy out there. I need a church. I need somebody to say to me. I need a little bit of advice. I need somebody to encourage me. I need some preaching. I need somebody to put my house in order and show me the fences. And mentally, I go off the rails sometimes, like we all do, kind of shadows of insanity. And in my mind, and yet I am like greatly comforted when I trust in Him, and the Holy Spirit is faithful to give us Bible thoughts, words, words of power, words of life, people, joyful people, encouraging people, godly people. Who are your friends? Jesus could say that to the disciples. I want to teach you. I want you to have new friends. I want you to hang up the phone. Hang it up. I said to one brother one time, I said, "If that person ever calls you again, you hang up the phone." And I said, "You can't hang up the phone, can you?" He said, "No, I can't." I said, "You got to hang up the phone. Say it after me. Hang up the phone. Hang up the phone. Say it after me. Hang up the phone. Hang up the phone. Not going to happen. Hang up the phone. Hang up the phone. You can't do it, can you?" He couldn't do it. And sure enough, he got in trouble because he couldn't hang up the phone. Isn't that amazing? There has to be fences. There has to be borders. There has to be definition. There has to be doctrine. There has to be the reality of God. There has to be my eternal purpose. There has to be a calling that's bigger than us and our flesh. There has to be the moving of the Holy Spirit. There has to be a church that is somehow saying to me, "This is true and that's a lie. And that's not going to help you walk in the truth," and your room becomes very big. You are very able. You are blessed. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Is this Pastor Appreciation Day? It is? I didn't know that. It is? Let's talk that up. No, I'm joking. If it isn't, we're going to make it today, okay? All right, would you pray with me? This is our closing, our prayer for the message, and then we have the communion service. Just takes a few minutes and before God's presence today. Wow. Oh, the Holy Spirit is here speaking to our hearts. Say to Christ, if you've never done it, please say it now. "Lord Jesus Christ, I believe in you." Please say that prayer to him. It's personal. It's your business and God. God is after you. God cares for you. Say, "Lord Jesus, I believe in you." Please. And then just raise your hand for the ushers to give you a booklet if you're saying that prayer. Just put up your hand and put it down. "Yes, I'm believing in Jesus." Anyone here? Just put up your hand. "Yes, I'm believing." Okay, amen.